It's interesting that I don't spend a lot of time on Facebook. I post a few things. I get notifications. I probably spend more time in a pastor's fellowship mode. I'm in a dispensational group. And I'm also in, if you're familiar with Free Grace, I'm in one of those groups. There was a conversation I had in the Free Grace group that I wanted to highlight here. But one of the things that I think is erroneous, and I think thinking wrong on it, it doesn't change your destination with regard to heaven, but I think it changes how you need to understand it. And I'm sure I've taught this in a wrong way in the past. So please don't understand that I'm condemning anything, but I think you need to, if you understand this clearly, I think it helps you understand how grave sin is. Okay? The title of this study is, Why Do People Go to Hell? And you might think, oh, that's easy, right? Well, apparently it's not as easy as you think. So, and the subtitle is, Clarifying the Cause of Eternal Punishment. Now, that sounds almost like a seminary paper. I'm not intending it to be that. But the premise, what we're trying to answer tonight is in that red line right below the title. Is this true? The only sin that sends people to hell is the sin of unbelief. I'm sure you've heard that before if you've heard any preaching at all. Okay? And technically, I get it. And with the right clarifications, I even agree with it. But there's a problem. Because some people say that since Jesus died on the cross, everyone's sins are paid for. Now listen till I'm done talking, right? Because I'm not done talking yet. And so no one has any sin to pay for. Because the sin is all propitiated. It's satisfied. Now I understand where they get that. But that is not what the Bible actually teaches. I'm saying that Jesus' death and resurrection is adequate payment for everyone. I'm not arguing that at all. I'm saying, though, that it only counts for you if and when you believe. Otherwise, all of the sin and sinfulness and the guilt that you have added up in your life, I believe you will pay for. It's not because Jesus' payment isn't adequate or sufficient. You simply did not take the payment for on your behalf. And that's two different ways to look at it. Because if hell is only for unbelief, there's only one sin that people will be judged for, and that is what? Unbelief. I don't believe the Bible teaches that, and I'm going to share rather rapidly why. The first passage I want to look at is the first verse in your notes here, and this is where you can say technically the unbelief is what will keep you out of heaven and will send you to hell. Okay? But it says this, he who believes on him, who is him? Jesus, on him is not condemned. Okay? But he who does not believe is what? Condemned already. And then it goes on to say, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Okay, I need a couple kids to help me out here. This is a big coat. It's actually really dark brown, I think. But you want to try it, Caleb? Caleb, you're my man. We might just use Caleb. But by the way, Caleb, this is sin. And listen, if sin was visible, originally we'd all look this way. Understand? So this is Caleb's We're looking at him as an unsaved person at this point, okay? But this is Caleb's sinfulness. He's a sinner by birth. You know why? I know, because I know his parents. But he's a sinner by birth. He's a sinner by attitude. He's got a sin nature and he likes to sin. And also, I'm just guessing, but there's probably a whole list of sins Caleb has committed. How old are you?
10.
Oh, you're just getting started, bud. Right? 10. You can rack up a lot of sins even by the time you're 10. I'd say amen, but I don't need affirmation on that, all right? Okay, so what is this?
Sin.
Okay, so there's he that believes in him is not condemned. Now listen, when you are saved, I need a couple more props. I got here late. What is this blue thing? Is that your coat?
That's Jeremiah's coat.
Jeremiah, can I borrow your coat? You demand. Blue is good. This is the righteousness of Jesus Christ. This is, as Sean used it again Sunday, our illustration of the A+. F, bad boy, bad F. You have either pass or fail, but passing is perfection. No sin whatsoever, or you get F, right? Sin, sinfulness, and all the guilt that goes with that. Okay? Now I need one more thing. I need a ticket or something here. Let's just use the Bible. That'll work. A person who believes, I'm going to use this as an illustration here. Okay? But if you believe, it's like receiving Jesus' report card. It purges you because Jesus has paid for your sin. It purges you. Here's your ticket. And it replaces it with Jesus' righteousness. He who believes on him, what's he got? He's got an A+. Why? Because he's believed, right? And it's actually even present tense. He who is believing is not presently condemned. Already. You don't have to wait to the end of your life to know that. It's true right now. Okay? He's got A+, and what is no longer there? It is completely paid for, it's satisfied, it's propitiated, it's forgiven, it's purged, is another word the Bible uses with regard to our sin. So that sin is as far as the east is from the... Okay, yeah, okay. East from the west, right? Deepest sea, all of that kind of stuff. Now let's go back. Believer, he believes regarding who Jesus is. I've translated that way if you look to the right of your Greek there. Now let's put your sin back on. This can't happen, by the way. We're comparing two people. We probably should have had two, but this will work. The Bible says here that if he does not believe, it's perfect tense. He stands condemned. It's not a lack of belief that condemns him. What is it? It's his F. It's the fact that he's a sinner. Right? All the different ways you can be sin and sinful. All of that guilt is there. It's not because he hasn't believed. The fact that if he believes, it gets rid of the sin. It applies the death and resurrection of Jesus, his sin bearing, to him so that it gets rid of the sin. But it's not the fact that he believed that he's condemned. He's condemned what? Already. Okay? And he's condemned because he hasn't accepted Jesus' payment to get rid of that condemnation that came by what? That came by the condemnation. Why is he condemned? Because of sin. Right? He's not condemned because he didn't believe. He just didn't get rid of the condemnation. The unbelief rejects the deliverance that is there. But what sends an unbeliever to hell? Sin. That's what condemns. He's condemned already. He doesn't have to not believe. Right? He's wearing the black coat. He's got the F. He's got the sin and sinfulness. All right? Now, so that you get this in your mind, we're going to leave you with this, right? What happens when a person believes? There's this belief. The sin is gone. Why? Because has Jesus effectively paid for everyone's sin? I believe he has. Not for our sins only, but also for the sins of the whole world. So the sin is purged, and also he has Jesus' righteousness. Caleb has done absolutely nothing for that A+. Jesus has earned that A+, and it is gifted to him. Who can quote 2 Corinthians 5:21? For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the what? The righteousness of God in him. Okay? So let's go through now. Thank you, sir. We left you saved. I hope you don't mind that. Thank you very much, Caleb. Thanks. Thanks for your coat, man. Really helpful. Appreciate that. Okay, now let's work down. I have the verse, but to the right of the Greek here, and I've highlighted the Greek words, the word believing is used 3 times in some form or another, and the word condemned is used 2x. I've translated it literally on the right-hand side. The one believing, that's present tense, in regards to him, with regards to Jesus, it isn't belief. You have to believe in something. And by the way, you can believe in the wrong thing. You can believe, I would try to make a football joke, but I can't. I can't think of it. I don't know the teams well enough. But you can believe something that's absolutely not true. There's still arguments about whether the earth is flat. Okay. All right. You know, you can believe that, but it's not true. You can believe it all you want, but it's not true, right? It's what you're believing in. And this is the one who is believing with regard or in regard to Jesus, in him, if you will, okay? With regard to him. Literally, not is being condemned. It's present tense. Right now, you're not condemned. Again, it's not something, salvation is not a destination. A lot of people, and I don't really like the idea of, do you want to go to heaven when you die? As a question. Because it misses the point of sin and the reason why you can't go to heaven. And it really isn't the point of the Bible, right? We just quoted 2 Corinthians 5:21, but he made him who knew no sin to be what? Sin for us. Not, and it doesn't even mention heaven. It's so that we can get God's righteousness. That's the point. So we can be right with God. Right? Even that's what we're assigned to in 2 Corinthians 5. Our message is be reconciled to God. That's the message, not go to heaven when you die. Salvation is immediate and present tense. So if you believe, you are presently not condemned. That black coat has been removed. And now I'll say, amen? Isn't that wonderful? It is fantastic, because otherwise you have no hope. I have no hope. Okay, the only way you get that perfect A+ and get rid of that sin, sinfulness, the sin guilt and all of that is by Jesus paying for it. That's the negative part. And then he gives you his perfect righteousness, which is the positive part, as part of believing with regard to him, what's true of him. And then it goes on to say this, and the one not believing, present tense right now, again, it's dividing all of living people into 2 categories. You're either believing or what? Not believing. And you're either not being condemned or you're already condemned. Right? You don't have to do anything. And this is a perfect tense. I translate it this way. You stand condemned. The coat is yours, and that's why you're condemned. The coat. Now, You can escape it, but you haven't, if you're wearing the coat, so to speak, you're in your own sin, because you haven't come to believe, that's a perfect tense also, in regards to the name of the only begotten Son of God. You haven't taken advantage of the payment that's there. Now, let me walk through these very quickly now. Number one here, there's five reasons why I believe that sin is still there and you still have to pay for all of your sin unless you believe. Okay, so quickly here, God's wrath continues against sin. God still actively opposes sin. Three different passages here, Romans 1, 18 and 19. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. By the way, this is after the cross. Every one of these passages you see I quote here is after the cross. All right, so it's not like, well, that was before Jesus died. Well, let's remove that argument or category together. The wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all, and you might want to underline these two words, ungodliness and unrighteousness. What's another word for that that rhymes with in? Right. Sin, right? The wrath of God is against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, by the way, who suppress the truth and unrighteousness, because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. I believe that everybody really deep down inside knows at some level what is true. They're not theologians, but they suppress their conscience that I believe is a warning system against sin. It's not a perfect warning system, but it's still there. They know the difference. There's a lot of people that don't believe in absolutes. They don't believe in absolute right and wrong until you steal their wallet. Then all of a sudden, do not steal makes sense to them, right? Amorality makes no sense at all. The fact of no morality. Ephesians 5, 3 through 6. But fornication, now notice this, I would call this a list of sins. Okay? But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you as it is fitting for saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, another word for covetous man, has any inheritance in the kingdom of God, let no one deceive you with empty words. And I underlined it for you. For, what does it say? It isn't unbelief. What's the issue here? Sin. It's their sin. Because of these things. What things? This list of, very general list of sins. The wrath of God comes upon, and that's present tense, is coming upon the sons of disobedience. Okay, because of these things. So sin is not done away with, and this is after the cross. Now again, is it potentially done away with? It's like having a check, but never cashing it. It's like being impoverished, and someone writes you an incredible check that completely gets you out of all your debt and pay for all you'd ever need again, and you just leave it. The check is legitimate. It's paid for. There's money in the bank. But it doesn't cover you if you do not believe. It doesn't become active for you. Colossians 3, 5 through 7 is similar. Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth. Another list of sins. Fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them or lived by them. Again, it's different because as believers, we're supposed to be living completely differently than the world. Reason number one, God's wrath continues against sin. Sin is not done away with. It's still getting scored against people who sin. Right? So how can it be done away with if it's still counting against them? Now, I'm talking about unbelievers here, right? You understand that, right? That's why people go to hell. Unbelievers go to hell, right? But their sin is gathering wrath, God's wrath. Number two, sin remains the cause of deadness in believers. We're talking spiritual. I said believers. Sin remains the cause of deadness in unbelievers. Two letters make a lot of difference. Right? And we're talking spiritual deadness here. People are spiritually dead. I've likened it to like you have an AM radio, but you don't have an FM radio. Most of you have no idea that that was like that before. But you aren't even connected. You're totally disconnected to God. Ephesians 2, 1 through 3, and you he made alive who were dead. How were you dead? In trespasses and sins, right? The sin was there till they believed, ultimately. It was still there. In which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we also once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature, notice this, children of what? Wrath. What we did brought on the wrath of God, just as others. And I believe it tallies. I don't believe that anyone ever gets away with sin. Sin, every sin, has been paid for or will be paid for under the wrath and holiness of God. Okay? We'll talk about that in a little more. Number three, let me read number one again. God's wrath continues against sin. Number two, sin remains the cause of deadness in believers. Number three, the wages of sin is still what? Death. This is after the cross again. Now, it's actually written in a passage that relates to sanctification. Did you know that, right? We use this as a salvation verse, but it's more related to walking with God and staying away from sin than it is for unbelievers. But it's still the idea that sin produces what? Death. The compensation, the wages, the paycheck of sin is death. That's true even in the believer's realm, not spiritual separation from God, but it kills you. In a sense. And Paul spends chapter 7 and chapter 8 talking about that in more detail. Okay? So the wages of sin is death. It's still death. Number 4. The guilt and judgment of sin remains until salvation. Until someone is saved, they bear that black coat. They wear that black coat. Is the sin paid for? From a accounting standpoint, technically yes, but unless you cash the check, all of that sin is still yours to deal with on your own. All the sin is either paid for or will be paid for, right? Right? Okay, let's look at, there's several verses here, but I've underlined key things. This is John. This is the only one that's pre-cross here. But Jesus said, therefore I say to you that you will die. How? In your sins. For if you do not believe that I am He, you will die in your sins. And by the way, John 3:18 was pre-cross too, right? I don't think it makes any difference for what Jesus is talking about here. But I'm just trying to avoid some people say, well, that's before Jesus died on the cross or after. But here he says here, unless you believe, you will die in your sins. And I guarantee you, not everyone he was talking to there was going to be dead before Jesus went to the cross. Belief unbelief left them in their sins and under the wrath of God. Acts 3:19. Repent therefore and be converted. What happens at conversion? That your sins may be blotted out. Well, if this Jesus died on the cross and blotted out all your sins, what's the deal? It's not effectual. It's not applied to you unless you what? Believe, right? The payment's already made. The check's already written. The promise is already made. But if we do not accept the promise, if we do not believe what God says about who Jesus is and what He's done, we're still wearing the black coat. Even though there's no reason to wear the black coat. Because it's paid for. It can be gotten rid of. It can be forgiven and removed. It can be blotted out. Acts 10:43. To Him all the prophets witness that through His name, whoever believes in Him will receive remission of sins. That means the sins remain until salvation. Acts 26:18, to open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins. The forgiveness of sins is not applied to everyone. Universally, it's applied to those who believe. It's enough to pay for everyone universally, but it's triggered or activated when a person believes concerning Him with regard to Jesus. Galatians 3:22. But the Scripture has confined all under sin, that the promise by... What's another word for faith? Oh, I thought you were going to say Bible college there for a minute. Yeah, the promise of belief in Jesus Christ, that's the noun form of the word believe, the promise by belief in Jesus Christ might be given to those who believe. When does it happen? When a person believes. The promise is there. It's guaranteed. If you believe, your sins are forgiven. Christ's righteousness is given to you. You're guiltless before God. There's nothing more Jesus has to do to make that happen. You simply have to believe with regard to what God says about Jesus. Here's another pre-cross one. I guess there's two here instead of one. And when He has come, Jesus is talking about the Holy Spirit, He will convict the world of sin. By the way, the Holy Spirit came after the cross. And He convicts people of what? Sin. Not unbelief, of sin. Okay? And of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, and ultimately, because they do not believe in Me, they need to understand sin so they will believe in Jesus. And that, to me, is the whole reason why I'm talking to you tonight about this. It affects my sense of urgency, because if I see everyone as fully guilty of their sin until they believe, as opposed to God is taking care of all their sin, and so the only thing they deal with is the little sin of unbelief, it changes the way you look at people. It changes the way you approach evangelism. So, God's wrath continues against sin. Sin remains the cause of deadness in unbelievers. The wages of sin is death. The guilt and judgment of sin remains until salvation. Until a person actually believes, that coat remains on them. All of their sin and sinfulness and the resulting guilt is theirs. They still own it. And it's interesting too, in number 5, sinful works will be the measure for judgment to unbelievers. It should say for unbelievers, I guess. But Hebrews 9:27, and as it is appointed for men once to die, but after this the what? Why would people need to be judged if it's only an issue of unbelief? And I would say they wouldn't, because it would already be predetermined, right? 2 Peter 2:9, then the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptations and to reserve the unjust under what? Punishment for the day of judgment. Why do you punish people? Let me ask it another way. Why are people under the wrath of God? Sin. Right. Here's another one here. Romans 2 can be a little confusing at times, but in accordance with your hardness and your impenitent heart, notice this, and I underlined it, you are treasuring up for yourself what? Wrath. How does that happen? How do you treasure up wrath? Do you have a wrath box at home under your bed? And you're like, oh, I found some more wrath. What do? How do you treasure up wrath? We've already talked about it. Sin. Right? The first point there, those two, because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience because of their sin. Right? You're treasuring up for yourself wrath in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will, and notice this, I underline this as well, who will render to each one according to his what? It doesn't say belief, does it? It doesn't say unbelief. It says deeds. What's another name for deeds? Works. Right? Actions. Conduct. And then verse 7 goes on to say, eternal life to those who by patient continuance and doing good seek for glory, honor, and immortality. By the way, I believe that's a hypothetical because no one fits into that category. Paul is just saying it. If you live an A-plus life, all's well. Then he goes on in chapter 3 and says, oh, by the way, there's none righteous, no, not one. Nobody has the A+. You're all Fs. Okay, so, but he's being honest. If you live the perfect life, you're in. Verse 8, though, but to those who are self-seeking and do not, what? Obey, that's a conduct term, the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath is what you get. Tribulation and anguish on every soul of man who does, what? Evil, or sin, or bad, or however you want to say it. And then most of you are familiar with Revelation 20, verses 12 through 15, and I saw the dead. That's the spiritually dead. Okay? And it's, by the way, it's after the verse 11 says the earth and heavens fled away. There's nothing left but the great white throne and the Savior sitting on it, and then all of the unbelievers before His presence. I saw the dead, small and great. What? What are they doing? What do dead people do? Well, these dead people stand before God. They're awake, alert, and existing. Okay? And it goes on to say, and books were opened. A little bit confusing here, but it says, and another book. So you have books. What's that? Plural. You with me? There's an S. And another book. What's that? Singular. You with me? We have books and we have... Makes a difference for this passage. We have books and book. Another book was opened, which is the book of what?
Life.
Life. All right, so what's the book? And what are the books? It'll explain the books in a minute here, okay? And the dead, the spiritually dead, if you will, if you want to call them unbelievers, I think that's legitimate. The ones that have rejected God throughout the Garden of Eden or shortly thereafter and onward all the way to the end of time. These are the dead. And the dead were judged. How? As to whether they're believers or not? Is that what it says? According to their works. What's another word for works? We just had it in another verse.
Actions, deeds.
Things you do. Right? Their works. And if they're bad works, what would we call that?
Sin.
Okay? And I believe that's what's being evaluated here. And according to the Bible, there will be levels of heaven. I will give you 5 cities, 10 cities. There's crowns, all of this. There's some people saved yet, so as by what? Fire. Have nothing to show for their life. There's also levels of torment in the lake of fire. Jesus said, woe unto you, Chorazin, Bethsaida, it will be worse for you in the day of judgment than it will be for, listen to this, Sodom and Gomorrah. For if this message were preached to them, they would have repented. So it's even opportunity and potential you're being evaluated by at the great white throne judgment. You didn't have the opportunity. These people did. It'll be worse for those that had the opportunity. And people that do worse things and all of that. You see that through Scripture. But it says here, and the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books. However that looks, God is recording works. He's recording your works. If you're a believer, you just get your works evaluated, whether gold, silver, precious stones, right, or wood, hay, stubble. And what does God do with all the bad stuff? It burns up. However that looks and works, I can't explain it, but that's what God visualizes it for us as. What counts for eternity and what doesn't, and all of what doesn't gets burned up, and what's left is what you get rewarded, and some people will have a lot, and some people will have absolutely nothing to show for eternity for their works. And by the way, that's what lasts forever, right? Those rewards. Same thing in the lake of fire. They're judged according to their works by the things that are written in the books. And then it goes on to say where the dead came from. The sea gave up the dead who were in it. And death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them. I won't go into all the detail here, but talking about the graves. I believe this is like a resurrection. Jesus talked about the resurrection of life and the resurrection of the dead. This is the resurrection of the dead. Okay, the unsaved people. But they're brought back in some constitution of bodies, right? And they were judged, and guess what? Every last one of them. It says here what? Each one according to his works. Every last person will be judged by their works. Okay, so they're all going to the lake of fire. It's just how bad the torment will be. And I believe it's an eternal lake of fire that never ends. That's our just due. That's fair judgment for us. If we understand the righteousness and holiness of God, that's what we deserve, and that's what Jesus took for us. And these are the people that refused one way or another throughout time to believe in God and rested in their own goodness in some way, shape, or form. Their own ability to pull themselves up by their bootstraps. If there is a God, I'll make it on my own. Whatever the case might be. Then it says, then death and Hades, the temporary holding places for the dead ultimately, were cast into what? The lake of fire. And it goes on to say, this is the second death. Death is what? We've talked about this before. It's not ceasing to exist. It's what? Separation. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. But to you who are troubled, rest with us. When the Lord Jesus Christ is revealed in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them who know not God, who obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. These shall be punished with everlasting fire from the presence of the Lord. That's the second death ultimately. No one has experienced from the presence, away from the presence of the Lord. I believe at this point, everyone has experienced some kind of oversight, if you will, and God actually sets him aside. It doesn't mean he ceases to be God over that area, but he's basically, you will not get any blessing or any kind of general assistance from God once you're in the lake of fire. That's a permanent thing. And then it says here, what's the book, right? The books are the works, the list of works for every person that's ever lived, however that looks like, right? Some kind of record. And then it says here at the very end, and anyone not found written in the book of life I believe all that was there for. I don't believe anyone that shows up at the Great White Throne Judgment is written in the Book of Life. It's just a verification. It's like one final check. Because their ultimate reason, if you will, goes back to John 3:18, is that coat of sin was dealt with by the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world. And they refused the Lamb of God, one way or another. And again, not everyone had the same amount of information. We understand that. We're not really arguing what all. Remember, though, even Abel offered sacrifices and Cain did not. The wrong kind of sacrifices, right? We've talked about that before. But I believe it's a verification to say they missed out on the check that was written for them because they didn't take advantage of what Jesus had provided for them. All the way back, you even get, I think even Adam and Eve, they put on the coats that God made for them, right? Abel offered a better sacrifice than Cain, but you get to Genesis 15 and Abraham believed God. And it was what? It was accounted for him for righteousness, right? Abraham will be there, but not because Abraham did anything right. He didn't earn his way to heaven. He believed that, but to him, Romans 4:5, but to him who does not work, but believes in him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is accounted for righteousness. And it's that belief, that faith, that then activates the removal of sin and the sin guilt. It applies, if you will, the payment, and thereby removes the sin, forgives the sin, blots out the sin, and gives you the righteousness of God. And you no longer are under the wrath of God. Remember I said sin has either been paid for or will be paid for? If you believed in Jesus, I can say with 100% certainty that your sin has been completely paid for. And you walk with God in grace because God has given you Jesus' perfect A plus, not because you've earned it. Right? You can sin, but believe it or not, the sin is already paid for. Otherwise, there's no hope for you. Because there's one sacrifice and it's completely there. God wants us to walk in grace. He wants us to walk in obedience. He wants us to walk holy, right, and righteously. And there's a forgiveness of sin that relates to, I believe, the fellowship with God in 1 John 1. But it has nothing to do with the wrath of God. Okay? We've been passed from death to life. But either your sins are paid for or they will be paid for. And I believe that any person that does not believe in Jesus right now, presently, is still wearing their coat of sin. And they're responsible for all of their sin that they'll commit from the time they're responsible and God holds them accountable to the time they die. All of that sin will be upon them for them to be judged by their works at the end of the Great White Throne Judgment. Okay? Belief, it is not the sin of belief that condemns you. It's the sin that condemns you. It's the wrath of God against the sin. But belief cashes the check, so to speak, cashes the report card that applies to you simply by resting on what Jesus has done for you. God promises that those sins are now gone and you have right, you have perfect righteous standing before Him. You still want, God still expects you to walk in righteousness and grow in grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus, but you're standing, your ticket is punched in a sense. Your A plus is secured. And that changes even the way I think we look at how we walk with God. We realize that what He has done for us. And we walk in a belief and obedience. Questions or comments? I'm going to feel funny putting my coat back on tonight, just saying. I hang all my hats on that one hook. All my eggs are in that one basket. I have no other hope. I believe that Jesus is my sin bearer, and that is why my sins are forgiven, and that's why God sees me as perfectly righteous. Even if you do not. Two different things. Standing and sanctification are a little different. Okay, let's pray. Lord, thank you for your salvation in the Lord Jesus. And Lord, I thank you that when we are saved, when we do believe, when we do rest in the fact that Jesus is our sin bearer, that he died on the cross and paid for our sins, and he rose again, that as we believe that, that you take away, you apply that payment that Jesus paid for us, and our sins are completely gone. They're completely, your wrath is completely satisfied. And not only that, you give us Jesus' righteousness so that you see us as perfectly right as we walk before you. And even though our lives are much less than that, Lord, it gives us the umbrella, if you will, of grace to seek you and to be able to walk with you as we grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus and as we walk in truth and in light. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.